previously on Good Sex, Bad Sex.
There's often an underlying cause of these erection problems. And that's why we want men to go out, go and see their GP, get the test done. Mm. And there's help out there. You know, there's something there to help them to get these erections back again.
Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's a bit like Game of Thrones, but with a lot more incest.
My name is Bibi Lynch, the sugar daddy.
And I'm Miranda Kane. I'm going to be the salty mummy.
Check out our blogs at metro.co.uk.
Coming up, we're going to be speaking with one of the best female podcast duos out there. What? Sam?
What?
Sam? So, Bibi, you've heard of the Sugar Baby Confessionals.
Oh, it's really fantastic. Yeah. It's a really great podcast, and it's really, it just kind of captures you. And I'm scared and nervous about what's going to happen in it.
Yeah.
I know. It's like a soap opera, but real.
Oh, my God. So you're going to be fangirling out?
No, I'm going to be quite calm.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
I was just looking for an excuse to learn how to podcast because it was something that I've been interested in. But I was thinking, oh, we'll do something about films. You know, no one's done one about films before. and she's just incredibly articulate and funny and smart, you know, all the good things. Much more so than me, as you're here.
No.
It's obvious from what I'm saying. So I just said to her, well, why don't we do a podcast? We'll do a little podcast, me and you. It'll be great. And she goes, well, it just so happens that I've decided to do something a little bit risque. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, I was like, this might surprise you. Yeah. It's a little out of the ordinary, but here we go.
I thought she was going to be like, I started a mummy and, you know, a mummy and babies movie group or something. And I was,
God, no.
And mummy and baby smoothie group.
Movie.
God.
She's going to make really good smoothies. Wow. Just pour them all over everybody. Actually, that's our next podcast. Season two. And so I was like, you know, what is it? And bearing in mind, we've known each other at this point for about 10 years. Mm. I don't really know that much about her and her favorite person who we refer to her husband as, their sort of sex life. Other than I always knew you guys were quite adventurous, more so than vanilla-y me, who's, I relate to Bibi because we're both, well, I'm a granny. I don't know about you, but I like my cozy slippers.
Yep. Yeah.
Netflix. and so I didn't really know all the stuff that sort of comes out over the course of the podcast. And especially when she said to me, I'm thinking of becoming a sugar baby. Obviously, I was a bit like, wow, that's a choice. That's a different choice. You know, and I kind of took me a minute to be like, okay, what's in and out of it? And of course, being the worrywart that I am, my immediate thing was, oh my God, it's so dangerous. Like, what could happen to you? There's going to be 10 axe murderers. They're each going to chop a bit of you, and I'm going to have to be the one who's the only one who knows. And you know what I mean? Because throughout most of it, we couldn't talk to anybody about it, not even my husband, because he's very good friends with her husband. So incestuous.
So will you call Ruby about doing, about putting this all out there?
Yeah, you know, I'm just a ridiculously open person, right, and I have absolutely no shame over anything that I've decided to do. And not talking to Sarah's husband about it and certain other people that we're very close to was actually more of favorite person's choice rather than mine.
Okay.
So there's this balance between how open I can be and how, you know, kind of discreet I need to be in order to protect his feelings.
Yeah.
So at this point in the game, your husband does know. A number of people do know, and I think favorite person is like, yeah, okay, like he's relaxed about that now. But it was a journey. It took a while to get there.
But the whole podcast is following that journey.
Yeah.
Is it? So is that all part in it? Like how to explain how I told my partner, how I told my partner's friend? Is that all in?
That actually would have been a good episode. Maybe we'll have to add one more on there.
Bonus content. Yeah. We literally started from the point of her having this idea.
Yeah.
And then going forward, for it was literally from the beginning of the process with her.
Mm.
But as comes out in one of our podcasts, it was actually favorite person's idea. He sent the link to Ruby.
Yeah. 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 Because becoming a, not in particular a sugar baby, but the idea
of a... Say what sugar baby is.
Well, my understanding is that a sugar baby is someone who accepts a certain lifestyle, whether it's in money or gifts or travel or just expenses paid, for spending time with someone. Now, obviously, there is usually intimacy, physical intimacy attached to that, but not always. Sometimes it's just about being someone's companion. But it definitely commodifies that kind of relationship. That's what being a sugar baby is. Most sugar babies are women, typically young women. Some of them, you know, could be a guy. And most sugar daddies are daddies as opposed to mamas. Hell, I would have loved to find a sugar mama, but it didn't happen. There aren't very many of them out there. Favorite person was like, hey, I read this article online about this website that's getting a lot of traction. And, you know, you've had this kind of fantasy of being a high-class call girl for so many years. This is similar. Why don't you give it a try? And I was like, yeah, all right. Cool.
I can't believe this.
Why did you go down the sugar baby route rather than high-class escorting?
Honestly, because my husband suggested it and it was kind of easy. It was easy to just pop a profile on there. Yeah. I mean, maybe being a high-class call girl would have been just as easy with a different website, but that's not what was presented to me. So, yeah.
Just seemed good at the time.
Expedient.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful word. How do you establish what the relationship's going to be? That it might be an intimate one, that it might not? Do you approach it like a normal relationship, you know, a standard normal relationship, and then it develops?
Well, for me, it was about the sexual adventure. So I personally wanted to find someone that I was attracted to be my sugar daddy. Mm-hmm. That was always an underlying motivation when I would meet these guys for coffee and try to decide was there a connection. So if I couldn't picture myself kissing the guy, then that would be it. I would just cut off contact right there.
So you meet them for coffee first, and that's when you sort of establish what you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. So a very non-committal, you know, could be 5 minutes if the guy's a total creep.
Yeah.
Always in a public place. Always tell a couple of other people, hey, this is where I'm going. This is who I'm meeting. This is the amount of time I expect to be there.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Where'd you find the sugar daddies, mummies, mothers,
aunties? Well, through this particular, you know, platform that connects the sugar daddies with the sugar babies. And, you know, you're in a certain region, you do a search, people pop up online, either they send you a message or you send them one. And then, yeah, you know, you just take it from there. And something that I always really enjoyed about meeting with a new sugar daddy was that initial kind of back and forth with the messages to see how clever is he? Is he funny? Is he witty? Does he say anything in written form that I find stimulating so that I have this expectation when we meet each other that it's going to be really satisfying?
What do you think they're looking for? Like, for me, if like a guy just wants that company or that intimacy, then I'd be like, well, you can get an escort, you can get a sex worker. But to have you sort of on retainer.
Well, I think people who are looking for a sugar baby typically want a deeper kind of intimacy. So seeing someone, you know, once a week or a couple of times a week, as it turned into with me, you get to know that person so well.
Yeah.
You get to, there's a true affection that develops between you. And that's something that a lot of these guys probably don't find anywhere else.
But Sarah May, when you're, I'm like this with it all. Well, first of all, there's a word, Miranda. I'd never heard this word.
Okay.
And in episode one of the Sugar Baby Confessionals, compersion.
Oh,
I'd never heard of it. I know now. I will never be practicing it. I will never be enjoying it. Sarah May, what did you think? Were you in on that?
No, I mean, I'm the same as you. I had no idea about a lot of different things, even though I have edited magazines. I used to edit a magazine called Trespass, a little literary magazine. We always had sexuality piece, which everybody was much more interested in than the poetry and the reviews. But anyway,
the juicy bits.
it was like the centerfold of of literary magazines, you know. So I've been intellectually aware of these things, but that was a new one on me, compersion, which is, Ruby, what is that?
Compersion is the feeling that you have when your partner enjoys fulfillment, I guess is the best way of putting it. Often that's tied to a physical relationship with someone else. I mean, it doesn't have to be that. But so, for instance, favorite person and I have had an open relationship even before I started doing the sugar baby thing. We had an open relationship for a long time. And I'd often felt that way when he had a really great night with someone. I would be excited for him. I would want to hear all about it, all the details.
Just like, oh,
I just thought it was like, yeah, no, it is. It is, because it's like you watch this person that you love so much have an amazing experience, and it just fills me with joy. I don't know. That is compersion, that sense of joy. And sometimes it's an actual physical feeling, like this warmth that just floods through me.
Yeah.
I don't get
that. No, I don't get that. Vodka gives me that same physical feeling, and I'd rather stick to that. That honestly makes me... I can't... If I love someone that much and they're sharing with someone else, they're taking away from the BB love pool.
Oh, see, I look at love very differently. I don't see it as a zero-sum game. It's like, you know, if you have children... You know, when I had my first child, of course, I loved that little creature more than anything in this entire world. Mm. And when I was pregnant the second time, I was like, fuck. Like, how is this going to work? I was genuinely worried about it. And FP and I had several conversations when we said to each other, oh my gosh, like, how could we possibly love another person as much as we love this one? And then, you know, little one comes along and you realize that the love that you have for your second child takes absolutely nothing away from the love that you have for your first. And for me, that's in a sense what it's like. It's just, if I love you, I love you. It's like with friends, you know?
There's not a finite amount.
There's no, it's infinite. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a perfect word for it.
Totally disagree. Yeah. Can I?
Me and Ruby will
act out. Look at me like she's a total freak. Look at her.
Tell us, so what, honestly, I'm intrigued by this. So what kind of stuff happened? So Mangini.
Oh my gosh, Mangini. He was such a sweet man. Yeah.
Who's this? What happened with the Mangini?
Oh, goodness me. So in the beginning of the podcast, we had a variety of different characters, and I'd like sort of herald them and give them, we had to give them nicknames, obviously, because it's all completely anonymous.
Yeah.
So only one of the sugar daddies that we actually got to speak to, but it was the most important one, so.
Oh.
It was good.
How many are there?
I think.
Wait till you hear what's happened.
Okay.
Wait till you hear what's happened.
I'll just let her count. She's off for 5 minutes trying to count away.
No, I didn't have that many. I met quite a few for coffee.
Yeah.
But the ones who got through that gate were very limited. I think
she's very fussy.
No, I'm discerning.
Yeah, you're allowed to be.
I've got high standards.
Yeah. Sorry. Back to Mangini.
Who sounds like quite the cat.
Yeah, he was one of the first ones that we did, that she did.
Yeah. And you do live through me, so maybe we should say we did him.
Yeah.
I felt like I was there after her description. This guy, I mean, he was one, in the beginning she was saying to me, one of the main things she wanted to, reasons why she wanted to do this was to explore those things that you were talking about, like why would they go down this route. And if it's a problem, like a psychological thing, where there's like their wife or their partner doesn't have a high libido, for example, she wanted to like help them get over that or assist him to enjoy the fruits of .. I don't know where I was going with that.
Were you going?
We don't know.
We'll never know.
Did you feel that you helped him get through his...
I think so. He was a very interesting case. So I liked Mangini just because he was such a kind man. And he was very funny. He was very sweet. So I wouldn't say I had an overwhelming lust for him, but I liked him enough that I could picture myself kissing him and just seeing where it went.
Why was he called Mangini?
He's called Mangini because before our first official date, so we'd met each other. I stayed long enough to have breakfast with him in this little cafe. Nice guy, really good conversation. And I thought, okay, cool. Let's give it a try with you, pal.
Yeah.
And he sent me a message just before our first kind of official date where we were going to be meeting at a hotel and doing the And he sent me this message that went something like, so what do you want for my Mangini? And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, my Mangini, how should my Mangini look? And I was just like, okay, first of all, never use the word Mangini again, please. Never, ever, ever. Okay, number one. Number two, however you feel sexy, rock up looking like that. I don't care. You want to have like a 70s bush, pal? it's cool. Like, I'm going to roll with it. You don't need to be anything particular thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there for you. I'm there to help you feel good. And he was just like, oh, okay, thanks. So just this whole mankini thing, it just fucking made me. I thought it was so funny. So then, of course, that became his nickname.
What's he turn up with? A portrait of you.
Cat head jumper.
He did. Oh, I don't think that was that wasn't our first date, though. He had this like decline because this sugar daddy was married and things were tense with his wife. So he wanted to have a sexual relationship with her. She was not interested at all. In fact, one of the things that I will always remember about him that just broke my heart is he said that he absolutely loves going down on a woman.
Yeah.
And he had this conversation with his wife in which she said, you know, I think you're the only man in the world who really enjoys that. And I'm the only woman in the world who can't stand it.
Oh.
And I was just like, geez, that's fucking brutal.
Wow.
You know, it's like he's so willing to please. And she just, you know, and listen, I'm not in the marriage. By no means do I think that he was a perfect partner, but he obviously was looking for that intimacy and that connection, that sexual connection with someone. Yeah. So he's a perfect example of a guy who thinks, hey, you know, let me see who I can find out there. And if I give her something in return and we know what this exchange is, then...
Can I say something?
Of course.
So there was a host, a kind of guest host for episode 12, yeah. Tipsy Tart. Yeah. First of all, why are the shows called...
Because they're all desserts. I know, it's a little bit... After, I thought that was such a genius idea, and everyone's so confused.
It's like,
because, you know, sugar, desserts. I thought,
everyone will get that immediately. They're all,
and they're all like quite saucy sounding desserts, you know, like Tipsy Tart. Sorry, that's my terrible humour in the podcast. It comes out like the puns and all that. That's all me.
And a point that Kath made, which I thought was really interesting, is how sisterly is this? If the sugar daddies have wives or partners.
Who are not a party to what is going on.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, I understand that point of view, and I totally respect it. But from my perspective, as I said a moment ago, I'm not in their marriage. I don't know what goes on there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of hurt and pain is being inflicted in either direction. And so I don't have any qualms about being with a man who's married and chooses not to tell his wife because... Honestly, he's the person in the relationship, not me.
Yeah.
Right? This is not a polyamorous relationship in which, like, I'm choosing to be with two people. I'm choosing to be with one person. And if he wants to have deceit in his life, then that's up to him. I'm not going to judge him for that. I've done really shit things before, too, you know? And maybe having an experience with me is the thing that's going to get him to the next phase. You know, I don't know. I'm not that there's something special about me, but you know what I mean? Just having that experience. And in fact, just to circle back to Mankini, very good segue, he was married. Marriage was on the rocks. We had a couple of dates, and it became very obvious that he was just really, really miserable with his wife. Now, I never gave him any advice about how to treat her, where to go, what to do, but I was a sounding board. I was a non-judgmental place for him to just unleash a bunch of these feelings. Mm. And in the process of doing so, he decided that he wanted to leave her. And that's what happened. They eventually got divorced. Now, at that time, he and I no longer saw each other. So it's not like it wasn't a matter of him leaving her for me or anything like that. But I think that there was a piece of our sex, like our experience together, that made him see just how difficult his life really was and that he didn't want to bear it anymore.
Because it's not your responsibility. You're quite right in saying, well, they're the ones in the relationship.
Yeah.
So it's their responsibility and their... morality, that it's all on them, basically.
Honestly, if I take this to an extreme, and I'm maybe a little controversial, I'm not sure I totally believe this, but I'm going to chuck it out there and we'll see how it flies. I would possibly go so far as to say that looking at the, quote, other woman in that scenario is actually very not feminist.
Yeah.
Because what that's saying is that it's my responsibility to handle a man in a situation and take care of that other woman. And I mean, come on. Like, it is the man's responsibility to take care of his wife and whatever kind of relationship he chooses to have with her, that's between the two of them.
Yeah.
So
Well, there's also the feminist take that it's about choice and she doesn't have a choice in this. Unless she does she know?
Well, she's choosing to be married to someone who would lie to her.
Mm. Well, she and I think if she knows she's being lied to.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
No, certainly.
Like, no, like, what, you really, everyone like, you, that's been cheated on doesn't
You've been
that.
With people who treat you like... If they're going to lie to you, it's not like everything else in your life is hunky-dory. Like, yeah. I feel like you need to take responsibility for
but
yourself.
But she knows she's being lied to?
I don't know. Very possibly she does.
That's up to the guy. That's nothing to do with Ruby or like anyone else, the third party. Mm. That again is the guy. He's the one doing the lying. He's the one doing the deceiving. So for me,
I think
this
if you're bringing in feminism though.
But that's what was very important for me about doing... I saved all the feminism for two episodes where I could just really dig deep into all these different things. Mm. And the reason I chose Kath is because she did have opposing views to maybe me. Some of my views, I don't agree with everything she says, and Ruby. And, you know, because that's the problem, I think, sometimes with some of the feminist dialectic is that it's polar opposites. Mm. And as someone who's... I'm not as brainy and as many of the other people out there who can kind of put everything together and be the perfect feminist, which is exactly why I got someone else to do that and take the 4-4 reads. So she was the sort of feminist police. And I said to her, listen, if you don't agree with me, if you don't agree with Ruby, if you don't agree with Madeline, pick at it. Mm. Give us the...
I thought it was interesting. I think it's good that you got her in because it just gave it context and gave it balance.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, because there are lots of people who do have that perspective and who are like, you know, where does the responsibility lie? Mm. And it's so hard because I feel like as women and feminists, we have to be so perfect in all these different areas, like as mothers, as, you know, lovers, as and we have to bear all the responsibility. So actually, it is hard to know. I do this part of me that's like, well, if you aren't given the opportunity to object or to make a decision based on that, then it isn't fair. But at the same time, I'm also like, she's not in their relationship and maybe the man does need to, you know, but I agree with you. It's such a thorny topic because I've heard lots of people say like, how can you be a sister? Like Kath was saying, and Kath expressed it so well, I thought. Yeah. But that's why I liked it. I wanted her to have pot shots at us if we were wrong, if we had something.
Well, I don't feel like I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I have my perspective and it's absolutely reasonable and understandable for somebody else to have a different perspective. And that's why they choose to live their life differently.
Mm. Let's talk about some fun shit.
Okay.
Let's do some sex. What have been like the creepy guys? What have been like when you said you've got your little filter and you do the... Has there been any ones that have turned up and you've just... Where you have been like, no, what... Give us the creeps.
Yeah. So, gosh, what did we call him? I think we called him Zeus. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That sounds like an ironic nickname.
No. So there was a sugar daddy that I met for coffee, and he was an older gentleman. I think he was, you know, pushing 60, but very fit, tall, lean, obviously, you know, exercised, like, you know, looked after himself, handsome enough. But he had this weird, like, goiter thing on his neck. Yeah. And he was wearing a turtleneck that kind of covered it up a little bit. But it was, I don't know, as soon as I saw that, I was like, ooh. And he was really out there. He kept wanting to talk about how he and his wife were, that they had evolved to the next level, and he believed favorite person and I, because we had an open relationship and we understood that we could have this marriage, which was the core of our, you know, like the center of our lives, and then kind of play with other people on the side, how this was the next phase of human evolution, and that I was ahead of my time, as was he, and...
I mean, turtlenecks and being... Was it L. Ron Hubbard? Is that who you met with?
It may have been, actually. You never know.
I mean, if you're rich enough to be able to afford a sugar baby, you're rich enough to sort out your neck goiter.
How much is it? She says, Presley.
So what kind of things do you get paid in, like, when you say it's you travel, and do you get, like, rent paid, or is it, like, cash money, or is it...
I always preferred, to get an allowance per month, so I would agree...
So you get a monthly allowance?
So I would agree with the sugar daddy how many times a month I would see him, and then he would pay me, you know, that amount for the month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I never asked for him, you know, I never asked for anyone to pay for something directly. I always just give me the money. Show me the money. That's perfect.
Well, why do people, because I've had a couple of Twitter spats with sugar babies or women calling themselves sugar babies, because they're like, oh, we're not sex workers, we're not escorts, we're not the same. And sometimes I'm just a bit like,
it seems the same.
There's no hierarchy here. You are getting paid.
Good. I like that word. That's really good.
Don't be part of this weird system where you're trying to be separate yourself.
It's actually keeping the stigma going, isn't it? Like,
exactly. Do you identify as a sex worker? If someone says that.
Yeah, I would say that sugar babying falls under the umbrella of sex work. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, each of them probably have their own flavor, let's say, right?
Yeah.
Each of them have their own little quirks and, you know, the particular kinds of expectations, perhaps, as to what the interaction with that person is going to be like.
Yeah.
So it was interesting for me to get to know these guys because I enjoy the psychology of it. I enjoy understanding, like, why are you coming to me? What's happening? Like, what is it that you need in this experience? And the idea of the chameleon in me, right? I wanted to figure out, you know, what is it that you need? And in this little window that I have, can I deliver it to you? Do I feel comfortable delivering it to you? And if I didn't, I would just stop. I never had any qualms about walking away at any time, you know, which I think actually some women, they have that thing where they're worried about the other person's feelings, you know?
Yeah.
I happen to be fairly disagreeable by nature and temperament, so I never worried, like, you know, I don't want you shoving that up my ass. Sorry, not going to happen. And, you know, I'm not worried about how he's going to feel in that moment. Yeah.
I think that's what makes sex work quite fantastic, because you can just put your limits up there and say, I don't do this, I don't want to do that. And as well as the money, it's, you know, pretty nifty or something.
Kind of choosing to put somebody else's feelings and comfort ahead of your own.
Exactly.
I think that, you know, we as women sometimes do that. We tend to do that. I mean, certainly I do that with my children, you know.
But not from some random guy you meet on the internet.
Exactly.
But who has become kind of part of your life. So there was Mankini, Frenchie.
The Brit is
and
is
the Brit.
Main...
And the Brit. Yeah. So tell us about the Brit.
He was one of the people where your feelings actually started deepening. And because I was worried about that. That was one of the first
that
things
was one
I
of the
thought
things
about.
You were concerned about.
I was, you know, obviously because FP is my one of my husband's best friends and we've known them both for years and years and years. And I was just thinking of the children. What happened?
Think of the children.
Because obviously I have the type of mind which always goes to the worst possible scenario of everything. I'm a joy to be around.
You are, actually, because you help balance me out. Because, of course, I have the mind that goes immediately to the best possible scenario.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was like, what if you meet someone and then you break up with FP and then he's going to have to come live with us? And then we're...
So it was about sofa space. It was basically about how many duvets you've got.
I love to take the kids.
So you met the Brit.
Yeah.
And...
He's just another regular sugar daddy.
Just another regular. Or was he? And now you have feelings for him to the extent that we can say you are in
love with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Not in love,
totally
in love
with him. Yeah.
So what happens?
I have to be honest. I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say or not, because.
But what was that like when you realized that you were in love with him, and what was that like for FP?
Well, I mean, it was so many things at once, right? I mean, falling in love is just the most exhilarating thing that any person can go through. Mm. I think it's Oscar Wilde who has that really great quote that you only fall in love once every time. and that's certainly what it felt like. It was just a whirlwind inside of me. But I knew that I needed to be honest with favorite person about it. I mean, we'd been honest with each other about everything all the way through. And even though I knew that this would really, really hurt him, I didn't feel like I should start hiding things, you know, now.
I thought it was interesting that the fact that one of FP's kinks is the cuckolding thing. Mm. And he really enjoyed hearing about Ruby coming back from an assignation. In fact, she wasn't even allowed to shower. They'd go, you know, straight back into bed. And to me, that was always a very interesting part of his kind of the makeup of their relationship. So that when the fishes, I guess we can say that much, it started when he heard that she was in love with them, because she admitted it almost immediately to FP. Mm. It was almost like strange to me that he would have a problem with that, but not the cuckolding. So that it's all that complexity, that of like what part of the you know, the physical infidelity is he happy with, and
it got emotional rather than physical.
Yeah, of course.
It's different things.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word infidelity, because to me that means a breaking of trust. Mm. At no point through any of this did I keep something from favorite person. So, I mean, as we already mentioned, he's the person who sent me the link for the Sugar Daddy website, or Sugar Baby website. He knew about every single, you know, coffee date I went on, the sugar daddies I met for money, how much money they gave me, a play-by-play of what we did. I mean, the whole shebang. Like, he was taking the journey with me. In fact, in some sense, it felt like our sexual adventure, because as you mentioned, Sarah, when I would come home, I would tell him all these things and it would just get him revved up. And you know, he had this competing thing. You know, it's like, oh, you're my woman now. I'm going to take you now, you know, which was really fucking hot. Let me tell you, like, I loved it.
Thanks very much to Sarah May Tucson and Ruby, the Sugar Baby Confessionals. You can check out their podcast wherever you get your podcasts from.
Are you going to listen to it?
Yeah, I am now.
What do you think?
I thought that was really fascinating. And like, for her to be falling in love with someone as well, like, what a cliffhanger.
His name is actually Cliffhanger as well.
Oh my God.
My name is Bebe Lynch.
And I'm Miranda Kane.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Sam Bonham.
And you can check out our articles on metro.co.uk.
See you next week for Good Sex, Bad Sex.